All right. Well, as I said at the start, we're honoured to have Ian McCormack with us tonight. And so rather than me introduce Ian, because I've known Ian for about 4 hours, I thought we'll get Pastor Russell to come. And he is Melissa's brother. And Russell has known Ian for many a year. So if you'd like to welcome Russell, he's going to tell you a little bit and introduce Ian to us tonight. Thanks, Russell.
Thanks, Matt. Well, it's so good to be with you tonight. We feel like we've been welcomed. We feel like part of the family. Well, in fact, we are part of the family. So that's really good. Look, I'm not going to spend much time, just to say that we've been incredibly privileged and blessed to have Ian for the last week here. But I first met him over 20 years ago when he first came to Australia and gave his testimony. And, you know, there's some things in your life that stand out as totem poles, and those moments where you know God has done something in you and left a deposit in your life. And I think that's something of the impact of Ian's story. And it's something that demands a verdict, because you get to listen to his story as a testimony or as a witness to the things that he saw. But I mentioned recently as well, it's not about what goes into your brain. When you hear Ian's story, it's there's something happens inside you that will remain with you for the rest of your life. It brings hope, it brings encouragement, and I'm going to ask him to come and do that now. Let's welcome him as he comes. Thanks. Take it, Ian.
Good evening. I'd like to read out of Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. Put me like a seal on your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death, jealousy as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all his riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. Isn't that true? There is a love that's like fire, and God is an all-consuming fire. Jesus' eyes are a flame of fire. And so it's a love that's refining, it's purifying, and it's holy. What I love also is 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love God because he first loved us. How many can feel love? Any one of you out there have felt something like that? Okay. Shall we pray? So, Lord, we thank you that there is a love stronger than death, that you'd put a seal upon our heart, that you'd put the fire of your presence inside us. And Lord, I pray that tonight we would not only understand the love you have for us, but we would experience it. That you would begin to love people back to life. Because love gives hope. Love heals the most broken heart. And love saves. Love forgives. And love is eternal. And pray you take all the fear out of our hearts, and you'd fill us to overflowing with pure love. I pray people would see past my experience and see you. Open the eyes of our heart to have a revelation of you, Lord, and all your glory, and all your radiance, and all your light. Let the heavens open, and let the Spirit of God touch each one of us. Save the lost. Heal the sick, and Lord, encourage the saints. There is a hope that is secure. There is a living God, stamp eternity into our... Amen. It's good to be alive. I have the unusual experience of saying I was dead, but now I'm alive. There's resurrection power, and when you've tasted that, something changes inside you. I think sometimes we have to die to live. Jesus said, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it doesn't bear any fruit. So the Lord is looking for lives that are laid down for him. Christ in us, the hope of glory. How many have heard my testimony? Just want to find out if you've heard it. Okay, a handful of you. It's on book, DVD, whatever. There's a couple of books left. All the DVDs are gone. But it's on the internet for free, so you can read it for free. You can watch it for free, whatever. Copy it. There's no copyright, no royalties. Just give it away, man. My testimony was put into a Bollywood version of my testimony, like a Hollywood thing. We had Clint Eastwood's son play me. When you look at him, mate, he looks just like Clint. Doesn't look anything like me, but that's fine. Cheryl Ladd played my mum. How many love Cheryl Ladd? She's a full-on Christian. She came to the Lord in Hollywood when went through a terrible divorce. And she said, I can play your praying mother because my mother prayed for me in South Dakota and I came back to God. How many have had a praying mum? And that's the only reason why we're here. And if your mum's there, put your hand up. She's still praying for some of you. So let's have a look at the Bollywood version and I'll get out of the way. Why don't I sit down?
They say the best surfer in the world is having the most fun. It's not about competition. It's simply about the moment. When you feel it, you've come the closest you can get to touching eternity.
Mom, if I don't do this now, I never will.
Let your heart skip a beat. Don't hold on so tight.
Leaving home, my mom had a premonition something might happen to me on this trip. And my dad, well, he just wants me to get ahead in life. And me, well, I just want to get out there and discover freedom.
I just left home and I'm doing it, the whole endless summer thing.
What are two white boys like you doing out in this mighty desert, eh?
Surfing. In a place like this, it's easy to get lost in the moment. A beautiful culture, new and exotic. Awakening the senses in the whole body.
I'm Annabelle.
Yeah. It's that chick, isn't it?
I think I'm falling in love with her.
Teach me everything to know. Cause I've been lost so.
Are you gonna tell me about this perfect wave?
It's almost as if time stands still.
I may never leave this beautiful island, at least not in this body.
Ian's in trouble.
I'm dying. My life has changed forever. Let me tell you what happened to me.
Cheryl Ladd was very interesting. She said, Ian, are you taking any money from this movie? I said, nothing. She said, I'll do it for free. And so there are people out there that actually love God. And are genuine. I've since met her mum and done conferences with her. And it's amazing to see someone that outwardly is beautiful, but inwardly has been changed by the power of God's love. And I thank God for people like that. So my testimony, I'm going to jump into it as best I can. It can take hours, but I'll try and do it quickly. If someone does that or hits that, then we know we're finished, okay? This is the island that my experience took place on. I was surfing around the world. Been 2 years surfing. Well, does this thing just keep making noises, does it? Hit the squeak button. Great left-hand surf break. Living with a local Rastafarian, Peter Tosh, Bob Marley boys. They said, don't worry, be happy. Smoke more hashish. So I'm hanging out with the Rastas. We're surfing. dive in. How would you like to live there? Beautiful outer reefs. This is down on the southwest corner, Le Mans. And we would dive at night for this. And the crayfish and the crab come out at night, so we would blind them. You've been spotlighting for rabbits? And they'd come. And I was living in Tamarind Bay with the local Creoles. Oh, it's only just started. Are you going? Oh, that's a worry. Oh, no, you're getting a better posse. Good. Gosh, I'm already running out the door, man. That's when the pastor walks out, then you worry. You might as well stop then. So I swam, and the fishermen call this invisible one. The Aussies call it what? Box jellyfish, sea wasp, marine stinger. Poison from them, supposed to be 100 times more toxic than a cobra. And so I got hit by five of them. By the time I got into the fishing boat, my arm was up like Popeye, blistered. The fishermen told me one would kill me and told me I must get to the hospital. As they took me to shore on the boat, they told me to urinate on my arm. I asked the other divers to come to size about his brother. To them, the water, even at night. Child panic, mobile phone. Box, most people, 10, 15 minutes, slip into a coma and never come out. I feel like sleeping. I begin to shut my eyes and I heard an audible man speak to me, his voice. He said, "Son, if you close your eyes, you shall never awake again." Startled by his voice, I looked and there was no one there. Oh, that's weird. I looked around, there was no one there. But I knew, as a lifeguard instructor in scuba, the last thing I should do is close my eyes. And I thought, you idiot, you nearly died. Who on earth was that voice? See, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Is that true? So how many have heard the voice of God? Hopefully all of you. And then the Bible also says that God goes looking for the lost sheep. So I was what you call a black sheep. Anyone know what a black sheep is? Really lost, we're talking. But you got to know you're lost before you get found. So here I am dying, and a person I don't believe in is talking to me. Isn't it exciting that God loves us even while we're sinners? Even if we curse him, he still is pursuing us. So here I am fighting for my life. I've just had someone tell me that I don't know as God. If you close your eyes, you will die. I staggered down the road looking for help. Because I've got so little time, I'm just going to get straight to the ambulance. By the time I got into the ambulance, I was literally gone through total paralysis, dehydration, and the death rattles. I had felt necrosis and death into my bone marrow. I was a consultant. I used to earn $400 an hour. And so I knew my own physiology that I was in serious trouble and had to get anti-serum for the neurotoxin that was killing me. As they raced me in the ambulance towards the hospital in Quatre-Bras, the Victoria Hospital, I started to see like a video clip of This Is Your Life. I thought, well, I've heard people comment on this phenomena. Medical science would try and say, well, it's endorphins. They will also give it a starvation of oxygen. They're giving reasons why we're having recall. But when you see your life go before you, how many know that's serious? So I did a quick check of my own physiology. My mind succinctly said, you are nearly dead. You may not make it to the hospital. You may die en route. I thought, well, if I die, is there life after death or nothing? I thought, well, I'm an atheist. I'm an evolutionist. I'm convinced that when you die, it's cessation of life. There's nothing there. I thought, but I'm a gambling atheist. The gambler said, you have been wrong before. How many have been wrong before? How many husbands know they're never wrong? Well, I saw that hand. Fortunately, there's no one sitting next to you, mate. Exposed your ribs. So here I am. I thought I was not wrong, do you understand? But I thought, if I am wrong, as a gambler, this is like playing a Russian roulette. How many know you don't die very often? And so here I am thinking, well, if I do die, where would I go? I thought, I've heard everyone's opinion. Buddhism, Taoism, humanism, Darwinism, Confucianism, Catholicism. How many know everyone's got an opinion? As a gambler, how many would like to back the right horse? How many make sure your horse wins? So I lay there and I thought, well, I have no clue. I'm not afraid to die. We'll soon find out if there's life after death. I'll take my chances. As I lay there, unbeknown to me on the other side of the world, one other person was also having an experience in hearing God speak. The trouble is, this is my praying mother, the only Christian in the family, and I tried to convert her many times. And thank God she never listened to me. And my mother sees my face, hears the audible voice of God say, "Your son Ian is nearly dead, pray for him now." How many mothers know when your children are in trouble and you can be a million miles away from them? How many men wouldn't have a clue what's going on? I see that hand. That's one of the pastors. So here I am, I'm dying, and I have no idea that on the other side of the world, the Lord is speaking to my mum. But I was about to. Next minute into the ambulance appears her mother, on her knees in her bedroom, hands up in this position, and praying. How many who has a child who's a complete heathen would might be shaken about this point? What? What's mother doing? Now, I'd seen mother pray many times. And I am now realizing she's looking straight into my eyes and she begins to talk to me. She said, "Ian, no matter how far from God you may be, son, no matter what you've done wrong in your life, if you call out to God from your heart, God will hear you and God will forgive you, son." I said, "Mother, too late. I'd be an absolute hypocrite having denied his existence to turn to God in my dying moments." How many know mothers don't listen to their children? She said, "Pray, son. Call out to God." I thought, "Mother, which one?" So I had a few issues. I had traveled through the East and seen every religion under the sun. So I'm lying there going, "Well, I don't even know who God is. Surely it can't be a Christian God. That's the Western God." So I lay there and I thought, "Well, if there is a God, now's a great time to show your face. I'm about to die. If you exist, I need to see you to believe. Show me your face." As I lay there, no one appeared except my mother. I thought, "Well, mother is not God." How many know your mother's not God? Act like it sometimes. Anyhow, I thought, "Mother, praise to Jesus Christ. Could mother be right?" How many hate it when your mother's right? I thought, "Well, of all the sick people on the planet, this dear woman, she's not a hypocrite. If there's a true Christian, she's the real deal." I thought, "A mother believes in Jesus Christ only. So maybe I should pray. I haven't seen Buddha, Ganesh, Vishnu, Sai Baba." I thought, "What do you pray that's Christian?" I thought, "When I was a little boy, my mother taught me the Our Father's Prayer. That's Christian. Jesus taught it. What have I got to lose?" As I tried to pray, my mind went completely blank, and my mother said, "If you're there, I remember the Lord's Prayer. I'm in the wrong place. You just say, me." Pastors appeared in front of me. I said, "What the? Are they doing here? How many have got people on your hit list? You've never sinned, you've got no one on your list. Okay, fine, mate. I had a few, man. I'm lying here, and I got this voice say, 'Will you forgive this man?' I said, 'No.' 'Will you forgive this man?' I thought, 'You must be joking.' I was going to lay my hands upon him." And then I realized the voice I'm talking to could be God. And what's he talking to me about? My sin and my unforgiveness, my bitterness and desire for revenge. I had no idea the Bible says if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. How many know that would save a lot of counseling in the church? Instead of the pastor drawing a big circle on there and say, "Shoot." Maybe you actually can take all your unforgiveness, hurt and bitterness and give it to God. So I lay there and I thought, these are the tip of an iceberg. I've got a heap of people on my hit list, mate. I thought I must have a bit of Italian blood in me. God, do you folks laugh? Are you just drinking sour water up here or something? I thought it was the... Anyhow, so I'm dying, mate. I'm having to deal with my unforgiveness. I said, "God, if you can forgive me, that'd be a miracle. I forgive those who've sinned against me." Suddenly the words disappeared, fresh words came up. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I thought, man, I've prayed this prayer 1,000 times before. How many prayed the Lord's Prayer? Mother would say, "Have you prayed? Yes, yes, our Father which art in heaven, God bless the cat and dog and Nana. Polly want a cracker." So I had not read this. Jesus said, "Men honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So I'm lying here, having prayed it from my head to please my mother and my grandmother, but I had no idea that this actually had to pray with sincerity from my heart. I'd been told I was a Christian because I had christening certificates. I had confirmation certificates. How many got all those things? So I had all the catechisms and all the stuff on me. The trouble is I wasn't Christian. So I'm dying here and going, thy will, God's will be done. I thought, so far it's been my will. I'm independent, self-sufficient and proud of it. I do it my way. I thought, to do this prayer means I have to admit I'm wrong, surrender myself to God, find out what he's doing in heaven and do it on earth all the days of my life. How many know that would cramp a non-Christian's lifestyle? How many know your friends may not recognize you? So I lay there and said, God, I don't know what you're doing up in heaven. Got nothing to do with my lifestyle. But if I get through this, I'll find your will. I'll follow you all the days of my life. I need an absolute miracle to come through this. I am nearly dead. Suddenly the whole prayer appeared before me. And for the first time in my life, I prayed with revelation, understanding. And as I finished praying from my heart, the peace of God entered me. And it hasn't left me in 37 years. The Bible says that through Christ, gosh, that's a fairly big pack you're dragging there, girl. You're going to leave it at the cross, obviously. That's right. Get a sermon out of that, mate. Lay your burdens down. So here I am, mate. I've just found Jesus. Does that make sense? I thought, what a bizarre thing to find out that Jesus Christ is real and not just a swear word. I thought, I wonder how many men just find this just before they die. You must be incredibly careful you don't judge people. You could have the sickest puppy run around town here, mate. Everyone wish them dead. And it'd only take one praying mother to change God's heart and try and save them. So you be careful you don't judge them. You may think there's no hope for them, but they're the ones that God knocks off the horse. They're the ones he blinds by the light. Some of the worst ones are the ones he goes for. So here I am, I've just got saved. I've just found the presence of God. I am changed forever. There we go, girl. So they raced me into the hospital. What struck me too is that everything went into slow motion. I realize now, having talked to a lot of men and people who have been in tragedy and accidents, cars rolling, all he does in your entire time slows down. He wishes, I believe that God gives more grace in the dying seconds than he does in the Matrix. So here I am, I race them into the hospital, no blood pressure, they hook me up with anti-serum, antitoxins, I can hear them talking, but I couldn't move a thing. I realise now, just before people die, they can hear every word you say. Even if they're on a machine, a life support coma, they can say, oh, it's a vegetable, they can't hear a thing. Yes, they can. Faith is, hearing is the last faculty. That means faith comes by hearing. If you know the Lord, you pray out loud. You talk to them. You ask forgiveness if you need to. You sort it out. These people can hear you. If they're alive, they can hear you. And they can respond inside. I'm hearing the doctors going, there's no hope. Guy's finished. You know what I mean? Really encouraging stuff. And I thought, well, I'm going to stay awake all night. This ain't going to kill me. How many got a little bit of Irish in them? How many a bit stubborn? And basically, you hit them, they'll get back up. Hit them, they'll get back up. How many know they're not that smart? Oh, we got a. So here I am. I'm basically going, I'm going to stay awake all night. Trouble is, I can't. So I shut my eyes to get some strength. As I shut my eyes, the machine monitoring my heart did what? Flatlined. I mean, no, that's not a very good sign. In a split second, I find myself out of my body. I could feel a release. How many have heard of people looking down upon their dead bodies? They have to be 8 to 10 feet above. What did Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet they shall live. What had just died? What is it? Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, ash to ash, dust to dust. The physical body is a clay vessel, even though you're to death. They're in real trouble. Toxin. Difference? What's lethal? Do you know my body? They make funny lights when they go. Dead. Then you have to use a blow dryer. Here I am. I'm suddenly out of my body in complete and total darkness. I thought, did I die and leave my body? Well, if we had a power cut in this third world hospital, what the flippin' heck's going on here? I thought, well, I'm alive, can't be dead, light's gone out. I thought they should have a backup generator. Why would that, you know, freak the patients out, mate? So that my pupils must be dilated, don't panic, just accustomed to the dark, and I turned around, nothing. I thought, well, where's the light switch? So I reached out to my right. How many have slept at a friend's place and needed to go to the toilet in the middle of the night? How many figured out the only way you don't whack your face into the wall is do what? Or trip over the nappies, is put your hand and feet out. Every night. No, when you're at home, you should do it automatic pilot. So I thought, well, I can't find a wall. Where's my hospital bed? Oh, great, you've lost your bed, you idiot. How the heck did you do that? So I'm groping around trying to find a bed, a lamp, something. And because I can't, I thought it's so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. I bring my right hand up, my hand goes straight through my face. I thought, that's impossible. You can't miss your face, two hands. Both hands go straight through my head. I thought, where's my chest? Both hands go straight through my chest. I thought, where are my hands? Both hands go straight through each other. How many of you find that a little bit unnerving? How many a bit like that nowadays, you know what I mean? So here I am trying to figure out no body. I thought, how can a man feel his body's there, but when he goes to touch it, it's not? Then I remember Grandfather Fort in Gallipoli. Men came back, legs missing, arms missing, but the old men would tell you they could feel the leg was there. Have you heard of this? They called them, the doctors would coin it phantom pain. It wasn't real, but they could feel it. Well, the fact is, when you die, guess what? You step out, you leave all the cancer, polio, spina bifida, Downs, you leave the lot. You could have been blind from birth, guess what? You can see. You could have been crippled from birth, you can walk. Because your spiritual body is intact. Does that make any sense? So I find to my amazement I'm alive yet dead in a realm of complete darkness. I then realize and feel the darkness as the spiritual component, a cold, evil presence, as though something is aware of me and I can feel movement coming towards me. I then hear voices in the darkness scream at me, "Shut up! You deserve to be here! You're in hell!" I thought, hell? Shut up? I said, nothing. This can't be hell. Where's the party? Everything you can't do up here, you can do down here and get away with. How many know it'd be very hard to grab a beer? Did you understand my accent? Heineken? Tui's Tooth? I don't know what you're drinking down here. Vic Bitter? Now maybe you're getting somewhere. How many know it'd be very hard to have sex? Can't touch this? Three of you don't get it, do you? So I'm dead. My world was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. How many know you can't have sex, drugs, and rock and roll if you've got no physical body?
There's kids in this building.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure they know more about some of this than some of the adults. So here I am. I'm alive yet dead. Does that make sense? I am also thinking Dante's Inferno. My religious upbringing was what Dante? Rotting corpse, maggots, trying to eat. Fire, put another one on the barbie tonight, rotisserie, little boys with trident pitchforks. How many have had these pictures? You won't answer anything I'm saying. So I'm going, there's no rotting corpse here. My rotting corpse is back in the hospital. So no maggots. Does that make sense? No physical body. But the Bible says the fruit of the flesh is what? Immorality, drunkenness, adulteries. These are the desires of a heart. You imagine they've all got the desires of these things, but they can't fulfill them. They can't get drunk. They can't commit adultery. They can't murder and kill. No physical body. How many knows Jesus spoke in mysteries, parables? What? See, the danger when you translate literal, the worm won't devour the flesh, you're going to get maggots eating rotten corpses. Versus the desires of a heart that cannot be fulfilled. Does that help you a little bit? Three of you, maybe. I'm going, where's the fire? How many of you wonder where the fire is? Come on. My welcome to hellfire and brimstone. But when you read the Bible, what shocked me is that God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush of? When Elijah prayed, fire came from where? When Sodom and Gomorrah were judged, where did the fire and brimstone come from? God sits upon in Daniel 7, a throne of? There's a river of fire flowing beneath his throne. God is an all-consuming. He's a refining fire. Coals of fire were taken, what? From the altar. Holy, holy, holy. Jesus' eyes were a flame of? Christians are supposed to be baptized in the fire. Where's Lucifer going and the Antichrist and hell, Hades, in the final judgment? Into a lake of fire and brimstone. Whose lake is it? God's or Satan's? God's, because Lucifer's going to be tormented by it. Does that make any sense? He hates the fire. You got it? He hates the fire. Some of you don't get it. He hates it. There are chariots of fire from heaven. God is an all-consuming fire. He'll judge the world with fire. He will test our work with fire. God is the author of fire, not Lucifer. There are stones of fire around the throne of God. I encourage you to do a word study on fire. And you must hell, not get told the keys of death. Because the absence of fire, perhaps God, but the valley walking through, nothing can separate me from God's love. Even if I descend into made my bed in Sheol, Psalm 139, darkness is a light to the Lord. Suddenly light shone into the darkness. As it did, I began to lift up into this extraordinary white light. As I'm going up into it, I can see far above me a tunnel. I then find myself moving with the speed of light in a very narrow tunnel towards a kingdom of light. Haven't you heard Jesus say something about small and narrow is the way that leads to the kingdom of God? How many heard him say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. How many have heard there's no other name by which you can be saved? How many know Jesus Christ is not politically correct? How many know he's exclusive? How many know if he's telling you the truth will set you free and expose the lie? I'd heard all ways lead to God. Christianity was one of them. But I found one passageway between two kingdoms. As I'm moving down this incredible tunnel of light, at the speed of light, waves of light come up, I feel comfort. I had no idea the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter. I tried Southern Comfort, a few others. Another wave of light came up and I felt incredible peace. This peace hasn't left me. Why? Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Peace. Peace I give you, not of this world. When that peace comes into a man, unbelievable. It's a living peace. We've just tasted of the fruit of the flesh. Now I've got the fruit of the... How many know you can experience the fruit of the Spirit? Taste and see. I was experiencing a living emotion, which I now know to be the person of the Spirit of God. I then have joy. How many know that doesn't happen with many Christians? You know what I mean? Joy, peace. Some of them look like they're walking dead, man. Joy, peace, comfort. It filled me. I thought, what is that? It's a living light. It's incredible. It's touching the core of my being. I thought, I wonder if I can see my physical form in the light. In the darkness, my hand went through my face. Perhaps I can see my form. I turn my head to the right, stop immediately in the tunnel. I see my hands and my fingers, my arm, but I realize it is no longer bone and flesh. It's transparent, spirit-like, full of light. Why? The Bible says we should be transformed. Mortality will take on immortality. First the natural man, then the heavenly. First the earthly, then the spiritual. Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, but God is the Father of light, and his resurrection power will bring your spirit back into his presence as sons and daughters of light. Now I know why men who have had arms missing can feel it. It's there, they just can't see it. I thought, I don't want to stop here, I want to see more. I look back towards the light, having just seen my hands, and I come through the tunnel. The tunnel had made it look incredibly small. Then I came out. I came into the expanse of this extraordinary presence. I thought, this is a living light. This is as though the entire cosmos, energy, galaxies, star systems must find energy from this light. What is that? Is that some innate power or is there someone in there? As I'm questioning this in my own heart and mind, a man speaks from the light. How many know that answers the question? There is someone in the light. When I heard his voice, same person who led me through the prayer, same person who spoke to me on the beach. He said, Ian, calling me by name, do you wish to return? I said, return where? I looked behind me, and here was a tunnel dissipating back into hell. I thought, hospital bed. I'm actually standing here talking to a being of light who knows my name and asking if I want to go back into my body. Or am I comatized, lying in that hospital, eyes closed, tripping out of my fell on endorphins? I had no idea that they'd moved my body from the A&E to the morgue. How many know that's not near dead? But I couldn't see it. So I responded, I thought, this thing's frighteningly real. If I'm out of my body, dead, I wish to return. I do not know where I am. He said, Ian, if you return, you must see a new light. I thought, light, see the light. Look at this extraordinary light. Are you the true light? He said, Ian, God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all, 1 John 1:5. I didn't know what 1 John 1:5 was. I thought it was Roman numerology. I had no idea it was the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5. But as I'm reading it, God is light. In him there's? Well, Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism put the circle of life, yin and yang. They made light and darkness equal and opposite. I'd been looking at Eastern mysticism. I was now realizing this contradicted all the Eastern teaching of Taoism. He was saying what? No darkness. I just come from darkness, and the men called it what? Hell. I didn't believe in hell. I thought all religions were scared people into their belief based upon fear. I'm now standing here looking for darkness. As I look around, I see no shadow, no evil. I look behind me, no shadow. How many know I'm casting some form of a shadow, even though I'm surrounded by light? Why was there no shadow coming from me? I was transparent, and so I was a spiritual being of light, and the light was passing through, and that's why the Bible says there's no shadow or shifting in the Lord. Isn't that incredible? Yet Psalm 90 says, in the shadow of his wings, guess what? No shadow, because God's light. It's a revelation. John Newton said, we've been there 10,000 years, no brighter than the sun, we shall no less days to sing God's praise than when it first begun. He had a revelation of the glory of God. How was Paul converted to Saul? He was blinded by the front of this light. Light, face and a light. Here going exposed. My son towards me, and I'm expecting it to be the wrath and anger of God. But instead of wrath and judgment and anger, what hits me? Pure, unadulterated, no strings attached, love. What comes? Love. What's in me? Fear. What does this love do? Casts out all my fear. I said, but God, you can't love me. Surely you know my sins. So I said, God, I have cursed you, I've broken your commandments. More love. I have slept around. More love. I've taken drugs. More love. I begin to tell God my worst, sickest sins. How many have got a few sick, secret ones floating around? None of you, because you've never sinned and you're perfectly holy. So I said, well, God, I've done this. You know what God's response to me was? Unconditional, holy, pure love. I wept like a little boy. How many have cried and bawled your eyes out and snot and tears all over the... How many have found that when you come to Jesus? We're talking an absolute mess, mate. I'm weeping before God, and he tells me, Ian, in the ambulance when you prayed, I didn't forgive some of your sins. I forgave all. What can wash away all my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Though my sins be scarlet red, Isaiah said, he will make them as? Woe is my spirit as white as snow. Because the blood of Jesus had washed away all my sins in an ambulance through a deathbed prayer. How many know that's grace of God? I wasn't baptized in water. I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. I wasn't speaking in tongues. I was saved by grace. And I'm an AG pastor. How was I saved? Please speak. You're Christians. But come on, 98% of you in here are born again believers and spirit filled. We're saved by grace. Thank you. We've got someone talking. Is this a Pentecostal or is this an Anglican? We're saved by grace. And where did I get? In the ambulance. He's listening. Can't reply. How? You must call upon the name of the Lord from your heart, and you shall be. The Lord's Prayer had been turned by my traditional church into meaningless repetition. But that prayer that Christ taught could save a soul. It's the best salvation prayer on the planet because it deals with unforgiveness and lordship. As I pray this, I am standing before him weeping. Then I open my eyes. I'm full of white light, surrounded by pure light, which I now know really the love of God. I was encased. Gosh, all men fall. This is my little, this little light of mine. Everybody sing that one. I thought, my gosh, all men fall short of the glory of God. I feel like a little firefly outside the immense glory of God's love. The greatest is love. I said, God, can I step into the light and see you? He says nothing, so I step into the light. As I do, I realize there are veils. How many have seen the stars and feel small? I walked in here, the stars look small. Why? We are created in whose image? How big's God? How many know he holds the universe in the palm of his hand? How many use the earth as a footstool? How would you like to have a revelation of you as the Son of God outside of your physical body, created in his image? Are you hearing me? I see some dumb Christians trying to make us feel that big. No. I walked into this radiance and I realized these clouds, how many have heard of veils? The light of these stars entered my broken heart and healed it. Jesus' first preach was, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me to do what? Heal the broken heart. I found him healing my heart of hearts. Do you know what the Lord was doing? He was preparing me to meet him. How many know he's got to bring comfort, peace, joy, love? I haven't even got in yet. I'm in the outer court, you understand? I'm now stepping into the veil. How many know through the blood of Christ we can enter the veil into the Holy of Holies? So as I step deeper in, I begin to realize that this light is a living light that is actually changing me, healing me, fixing me. Next minute, the veils of light open. How many have heard the veil has been torn? As the veil of light opened, standing in front of me with his arms outstretched is the Lord. How'd you like to have the Lord's hands reaching out to you? Not doing this, but doing this. How many still feel a bit unworthy? Oh my gosh. I'm going, that's God. And his robes are white, but not human cloth. He'd taken the cloud and formed garments of light. When I read Psalm 104, verse 2, it says he clothes himself in robes of light. Hands of a man, feet of a man, body of a man, but when I looked up to his face, instead of the face of a man, the face of God. You say, how was it different? All the light of the glory of the universe was in his face. The light coming out of his face was literally the epicenter of the cosmos. I now know that when Jesus speaks, the world will come into existence. So in his face was light 7 to 10 times brighter. It was like looking into eternity within eternity. It was like looking into the universe inside his face. Does that make any sense? How many have heard when you've seen the face of Christ, you've seen the glory of the Father revealed in the face of Christ? I and the Father are one. I'm the exact representation of the invisible God. What struck me, I didn't hurt my eyes, and his hair instead of brown, pure white. I had no way to understand why his hair was white until I read this, because no Christian could tell me. What did as this comes into my psyche? I think of the idea he had not only created a new heaven, he'd created a new. How many heard this earth will pass away? What with? Fire. But said, don't worry, 2 Peter 3:10 to 18, I've created a new earth. Revelations 21, 1. The old earth had. How many know that God makes all things new? Didn't Jesus say, I go and prepare a place for you? Pilate said, aren't you a king? He said, yes, but my kingdom's not of this world. Hebrews says we're sojourners. We're looking for a city made by God, not by man. How many know up in the above the new earth is a new heaven? How many know in the new heaven there's a new Jerusalem? How many have been to the old one? How many like to see the new one? So when it comes out of the new heavens, if the old earth's gone, where do you think it comes down onto? I don't care if it's messing with your theology. Wait till you die. How many know that you like get a new body? New earth? Crystal clear river? People say that's not a literal fire. Well, it was a literal flood in 2 Peter. Anyhow, you can deal with all the aftermath later. This is just near home. How'd you like to see springs of living water, the river of life, untouched by man, pools of living water, deep calls unto deep? I thought, I'm home. Wasn't I born here in the first place? I want to stay. And I step forward to enter in. Jesus steps right in front of me. The door into eternity closes. He said, here, now that you've seen, do you wish to remain here or do you wish to return? What would you do? Shepparton? Or a new heaven, new earth, no sickness, no suffering, no death, no war, no pain. How many, come on, we're not masochists, are we? How many know World War III's on the edge, mate? I thought, no way, I'm coming back to this. He didn't move. I said, well, I've got no one I love. I'm not married. I have no kids. None that I know of. No one to go back for. So I look back to say goodbye, cruel world, having God tell him I love no one and no one loved me. And right behind me was a vision of who? Mother. I thought, this woman loves me. If I step through the door, will it close? Oh, yeah. Would I be able to come back? Nope. I thought, will Mother know? I thought, no. It would destroy her. I thought, I want to go back. He said, you must see things in a new light from a heavenly perspective if you return here. I said, I understand through your eyes of love. I look back again. My dad appeared. My brother, my sister, hundreds of thousands of people. I said, why do you show me these folk? I know my family. He said, Ian, most will not come into a church any longer. I would like you to go back and tell them also. I said, but God, I don't know them. I don't love them. He said, Ian, I love them. He what? He loves them. And he wished that none would perish. I said, I don't understand that love. I can go back for my mum. I can genuinely say, I love her. I don't know about the other people. How many know that God's got to change your heart to reach out to others? Otherwise, you keep this to yourself. I had no concept of what he was going to get me to do. Not by force, but by a changed heart. I said, how do I go back into my body? Down the tunnel, back into the hospital. He said, tilt your head, open your eye and see. As I tilted my head, I was back in my physical body on a slab in a mortuary with a doctor holding my foot with a scalpel, pricking my foot like a dead piece of meat. Suddenly, the doctor saw his corpse looking at him. Both of us were terrified. God said, Ian, I've just given your life back. Oh, if that's true, no wonder the doctor's freaking out. Could I look out my other eye? I tilted my head to the left. Nurses in the doorway, they saw me, terrified, ran. They'd followed my corpse down from the A&E. I was the first white man to die in this hospital. This was a Creole hospital. This wasn't the tourist one. I looked back. The doctor dropped my foot. He said, son, you've been dead for 15 to 20 minutes. We've done nothing to bring you back. I thought, do I tell him? I thought, I've seen the guy with the white sheets and the face. Oh, mate, they'll have me on a Prozac. They'll stick me in a psych ward. I said, God, if I've seen you, I need another miracle. 3 minutes, I could be a vegetable. 15 to 20 minutes, I may never, ever move again. Please heal my body. I'd rather be dead than live on a machine. Power went through me like electricity. Within 3 or 4 hours, I was completely healed. I walked out of the hospital. I flew back to New Zealand. I said, God, what have I become? He said, Ian, you are a reborn Christian. I said, I've never heard. I've heard of Catholics, Baptists, Anglicans, Salvation Army. What's reborn? Do you have to die? He said, no, son, you were born again through the Lord's Prayer in the ambulance. You were dead in your sins, but you were born again through the prayer. I said, what must I do next? He said, read a Bible. I said, I don't have one. He said, your father has one. And within 6 weeks, I read the entire Bible. I then saw, you must be born again, John 3:3. I saw the river of life. I saw the new heavens. I saw Jesus glorified. I had a mess. My girlfriend took me to an AOG church, and I saw the glory of God out of the church and on the pastor's face. My girlfriend had got born again while I was away. I walked forward that night, publicly confessed my faith in Christ, was baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and was discipled by a Messianic Jew who now runs the fellowship in Netanya. I said, Lord, this is extraordinary. He said, that's right, son. I didn't just die on the cross for your sins. I was buried, and after 3 days, the stone was rolled. Same old Christ, God the Father, potentially in our life. Grace, Spirit, glorified, sinned. The only person who can forgive you is who? And how much of our sin will he take away? Come on. How much of our sin will Jesus take away? And wash us what? As white as snow. As if you've never sinned before. How many know as Christians we still sin? That's why it's called sanctification, ongoing repentance. Come on. Sins. How many know we then must forgive others? How many knows a fair few people that have abused us, mucked us up, rejected us, hated us, cursed us? Jesus says, Father, forgive them. I had a lot of people I needed to forgive. That opens up the door for the Lord to heal you, doesn't he? Forgive, he heals the broken hearts. But one of the most critical things is lordship, isn't it? Many people want a ticket to heaven but don't want him to be Lord. That's why his will done, not yours. It requires an act of humility to say, Lord, I surrender all. Be my Lord and Savior. My knee will bow. I will humble myself before God who died for me. My rock, Yeshua HaMashiach, my Messiah, my Savior, my Deliverer. And I will bow my knee and my heart before him and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. If you've never done that, I'd like you just to bow your head. And Christians, you're welcome to join me. If for some reason you've fallen away from Christ, I'm encouraging you to come back like the prodigal son and daughter. Come back out of the pigsty of life and pray with me these words out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, take away my sins. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Wash me as white as snow. Set me free. And I forgive those who have sinned against me. And I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Be my personal Lord, my personal. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Shall we all stand? I'm going to ask the musicians to lead us in a song of worship. An adoration to Jesus. In 1982, the preacher invited people who were coming back to God to come to the altar. I encourage you, if you're coming back to Jesus tonight, first time, or rededicating your life to Christ, as the musicians sing, I encourage you to step out of your seats and come and kneel with me. Surrender your life to Jesus. Allow him, the light of heaven, to dispel all the darkness inside your spirit. If you're afraid to do that, come with a friend, come with a neighbor, come with a loved one. So we're going to sing, and I'm going to kneel. If you'd like to come, please come and join me in prayer. Go ahead, folks, I can't say anything.